Bill's making good whiskey and having good fun, and it's pretty good for Bill. I can identify with Bill in that area. One time in my life, I was pretty good about making money, a lot of money. Pretty good at losing a lot of money, too, so we don't talk about that. So I did that, but I can identify with Bill.
Now, we know he's an alcoholic. His drinking is going to be progressive. As time goes by, it's going to get worse. Let's see where he goes from here.
He said, my drinking assumed a more serious proportions, continuing all day and almost every night. The remonstrances of my friend terminated around, I became a lone wolf.
People begin to say, Bill, you're drinking too much. Bill, you need to cut back. Bill, you're costing us money. Bill, why don't you quit? And Bill did the same thing the rest of us did. He said, to hell with them. I don't need them anyhow. He begins to operate now on his own. He becomes a lone wolf.
He said there were many unhappy scenes in our sumptuous apartment. There had been no real infidelity, for loyalty to my wife, helped at times by extreme drunkenness, kept me out of those scrapes. I believe just about everything Bill's ever written, but I'm not too sure about that statement. Bill wrote a little book called As Bill Sees It.
Yeah.
Later on, Lois wrote one, Lois Remembers. A little difference between the two.
Let's go over to page 4.
Here's old Bill now. See, he's drinking good whiskey, got lots of money, he's spending in thousands, chattering in millions. Life is good. Things are wonderful for Bill. Lots of willpower, lots of hard work, optimistic, self-made man, doing great.
Abruptly.
Yeah.
Abruptly, in October 1929, hell broke loose on the New York Stock Exchange. After one of those days of inferno, I wobbled from a hotel bar to a brokerage office. It was 8 o'clock, 5 hours after the market closed, the ticker still clattered. I was staring at an inch of the tape which bore the inscription XYZ32. It had been 52 that morning. I was finished, and so were many friends. The papers reported men jumping to death from the towers of high finance. Well, that disgusted me. I would not jump. I went back to the bar. My friends had dropped several millions since 10 o'clock. So what? Tomorrow was another day. And as I drank, the old fierce determination to win came back. How many of us have done the same thing? We come out of the jailhouse, we come out of the hospital, we come out of the divorce court, low, sad, depressed, and on the way home we stop in the bar, have a couple of drinks. And as the alcohol courses through our veins, we say, we'll show them. They're not going to treat me that way. And we're off and we're running again. That old great drive to succeed, to be somebody, to show them that we're just as good as they are. That's the difference between an alcoholic and a drunken bum, by the way. A drunken bum's where they want to be, and they're not too interested in changing the situation. An alcoholic might be there with the drunken bum, but they want to be something different. And we have that great, fierce determination to win.
They pull out the willpower and say, sick 'em, Will. Here we go. This next morning, I telephoned a friend in Montreal. He had plenty of money left, and I thought, I better go to Canada. Bill was a drunk. He wasn't stupid. He went where the money was, right? Of course, we all know today all the money's out in California. We know that. By the following spring, we were living in our accustomed style. I felt like Napoleon returning from Elba. No St. Helena for me. But drinking caught up with me again, and my generous friend had to let me go. This time, we stayed broke. We went to live with my wife's parents. You know, this really got to hurt a guy like Bill, who had made all that money, was very successful. He's lost it all. Now he's got to go live with his wife's parents. That's really a come down for a guy like Bill. He said, I found a job that lost the result of Brawl the taxi driver.
We see his alcoholism progressing more and more now as time goes by.
Mercifully, no one would guess that I was to have no real employment for 5 years or hardly draw a sober breath. My wife began to work in a department store, coming home exhausted to find me drunk. I become an unwelcome hanger-on at the brokerage places. These brokerage places were built and made a lot of people a lot of money when he was welcomed at one time. Now he's going in there and they're saying, Bill, look, you don't look too good. You haven't shaved. You kind of smell a little bit like booze this morning. So why don't you just go on down the street and hang out someplace else? We don't really want you here anymore. And we know that alcoholism is a progressive illness. And now we're going to see where Bill goes from now. He said, liquor ceased to be a luxury. It became a necessity.
Drinking for an entirely different reason now. We're not drinking for fun. We're not drinking for excitement. We're drinking now because we have to drink in order to live.
Bathtub gin, 2 bottles a day, often 3, got to be routine. Sometimes a small deal would net a few $100 and I would pay my bills at the bars and delicatessens. Now this went on endlessly, and I began to waken very early in the morning, shaking violently. A tumbler full of gin, followed by a half dozen bottles of beer, would be required if I were to eat any breakfast. Nevertheless, I still thought I could control the situation, and there were periods of sobriety which renewed my wife's hopes.
Remember last night, Dr. Silkworth said we really could not differentiate the truth from the false. To us, what we're doing is normal. We can see Bill's life going to hell in a handbasket already. He can't see that. He thinks he can still control the situation.
Bill hadn't been with Dr. Silkworth yet, and Dr. Silkworth hadn't told him his opinion about alcoholism, so he thought he could control the situation himself. Things are bad for Bill, but we know that alcoholism is a progressive illness. It gets worse.
Gradually, things got worse. The house was taken over by the mortgage holder. My mother-in-law died. My wife and father-in-law became ill. Then I got a promising business opportunity. Stocks were at the low point of 1932, and I'd somehow formed a group to buy. I was to share generously in the profits. Then I went on a prodigious bender, and that chance vanished. This is a story within itself. The people that had the money knew how good Bill was at putting these deals together. They went to Bill, and they said, Bill, we've got a good opportunity to make some money for yourself and also for us. And they said, we'd like for you to put this thing together and head it up, but you got one thing you can't do, you can't drink. You got to stay sober. And Bill said, don't worry about that drinking. I'm through with that drinking anyhow. And he began to put this deal together, worked on it for quite some time, stayed sober. A night or two before it was to be completed, they're sitting around in a hotel room. Somebody passes a bottle of Applejack around. Comes to Bill, and Bill said, no, thank you, I'm not drinking. Goes on buying, and after a while, he comes back to him again. And the guy next to him said, Bill, you don't know what's in this bottle. He said, this Applejack is called Jersey Lightning, finest Applejack in the world. You better have a drink. And Bill's mind said, I've never tasted any Jersey Lightning. No more thought than that, he reached out, took a drink, triggered the allergy, couldn't stop, and blew the whole deal. Now, the importance in it lies within the next statement. He said, I woke up. This had to be stopped. I saw I could not take so much as one drink. I was through forever. Before then, I'd written lots of sweet promises, but my wife happily observed that this time I meant business, and so I did. For the first time, Bill could differentiate the true from the false. For the first time, he could see what alcohol was doing to him. He did just like all the rest of us. He trotted out his willpower, and he said, sick 'em, Will. We're through with that drinking. You know, people try to tell us that we are weak-willed people. Don't you believe that. We are strong-willed people. Weak-willed people do not become alcoholic. Third time they puke, they just quit drinking. The alcoholic knows there's got to be some way to drink without puking. We damn near kill ourselves. We got lots of willpower. Bill had a lot of it, too.
See, Bill doesn't know what we learned last night, and this is really important. Anytime there's a battle going on between the will and the obsession of the mind will win out over willpower every single time because it's stronger than our will. But we don't know that. Only thing we know is we can try our willpower. But he don't know about the obsession of the mind yet. He says, shortly after I came home drunk. There had been no fight. Where had been my high resolve? I simply didn't know. It hadn't even come to mind. Someone had pushed a drink my way and I'd taken it. Was I crazy? See, if my willpower don't work, we've tried our willpower for many, many times, and it's not working, we begin to question our sanity. Am I just crazy? Is that the problem? He said, I began to wonder for such an appalling lack of perspective seemed near being just that. Now, renewing my resolve, he pulled out his willpower again. Renewing my resolve, I tried again. Some time passed, and confidence began to be replaced by cocksureness. I could laugh at the gin mills. Now I had what it takes. One day I walked into a cafe to telephone. In no time, I was beating on the bar, asking myself how it happened. As the whiskey rose to my head, I told myself I would manage better next time. But I might as well get good and drunk then, and I did.
Anybody in here identify with Bill Wilson? You betcha.
He said the remorse, horror, and hopelessness of the next morning were unforgettable. The courage to do battle was not there. My brain raced uncontrollably. Anybody's brain ever race uncontrollably? No. There was a terrible sense of impending calamity. I hardly dared cross the street lest I collapse and be run down by an early morning truck, for it was scarcely daylight. An all-night place supplied me with a dozen glasses of ale. My writhing nerves were stilled at last. A morning paper told me the market had gone to hell again, well, so would I. The market would recover, but I wouldn't. That was a hard thought. Should I kill myself? No, not now. Then a mental fog settled down. Gin would fix that. Two bottles in oblivion. See, we see the progressive of Bill's drinking. He tried to use his willpower. That didn't work. He began to question his sanity, and that didn't work. He began to think about suicide. And then we find him now, he's drinking for the sickest effect of all, which is total oblivion. He just wants out of it, and he can't get out of it. Only one thing wrong with oblivion, though, isn't there? You wake up, and that's where we find Bill right now.